Welcome to the Southern Fried Security Podcast with Martin and Steve Yvette and Little Joe. News Yankee Steve giving weekly updates. Armor guy managing the microphones. Joe sits there and sparkles while the vet's in the airport. Andy Googles Microsoft on his iPhone. A family-friendly bucket full of Southern goodness. What will they be ranting about this week?
It's episode 188 of the Southern Fried Security Podcast. My name is Martin Fisher. Glad you could join us. On the other side of our Skype connection is my good friend Andy Willingham. Andy, you ready for Turkey Day?
Gobble, 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 man. I'm all fired up. And for the first time in almost 25 years of marriage, everybody is coming north. We're hosting, and we're going to have a boatload of people.
So you got everyone to get their visas and all their shot records done. I'm really proud of you. That had to be a lot of coordination.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you travel in and out of the country, you got to be prepared. So
it's gonna be a lot more low key here at Fort Armor Guy. I think it's just my daughter will be up from college. There'll just be the four of us hanging out, eating way too much food, and my daughter's planning like the ultimate Christmas lights display in the house. So it's gonna be that kind of week.
Well, sounds fun though.
Well, unfortunately, Yvette, who's in Hawaii with her daughter, and Joseph, yeah, who's still on. Yeah, I feel so bad for her. Joseph's still on sabbatical, and Steve Reagan is he's on that, you know, highly secret assignment somewhere in an undisclosed location, and it hasn't been reachable. So, dude, for like the first time in literally years, it's just you and me.
I know it. It's very reminiscent of pre episode one, and it's more like just sitting in Starbucks, man, just isn't hanging it out, drinking coffee and chilling.
So 2016 is coming to an end, and I think the conventional wisdom is that 2016, it was the best of years, it was the worst of years.
Yeah, it was an exciting year, that's for sure. It was, you know, I things kind of run together. I mean, sometimes in my head, Stuxnet was, you know, just like 3 months ago. So when I guess this is a sign of age, but when I try to go back and correlate events and dates, I have a hard time. But I have no doubt and no hard time remembering that there was a lot of stuff that went on this year.
Absolutely. I think for me, if I had to sort of think of the one big theme, I think it was, I would probably best put it as people are finally starting to pay attention to breaches, and we're finally seeing breaches. And I'm thinking specifically of Yahoo here, where you can see a direct economic impact with Verizon's renegotiating their acquisition deal of Yahoo. You know, essentially it was, you know, you posted this, you know, notice of a breach. We'd like $1 billion of our asking price back.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And I think that's the beginning of a new way of looking at breaches. They're no longer anomalous events. They're no longer one-offs. And I think there's enough maturity around it. I think a lot of the people that are upset with Yahoo is one, the political machinations that, if you, depending on what you read and what you believe, may or may not have occurred, but also the fact that it's pretty clear that Yahoo knew about the breach leading up to their negotiations with Verizon and quite possibly didn't disclose it. And, you know, breaches are really now definitively material events that have to be disclosed.
Yeah, there's a lot, like I say, a lot of speculation in that. We don't know exactly what did and didn't happen, but it surely doesn't look like things were on the up and up. And I think, you know, this is one of those reoccurring predictions of sorts. Is, you know, it's like, I believe this year is going to be the year that people start paying attention. I mean, in all honesty, I can remember, and I want to say it was probably 08. I remember Alan Schimmel reached out to a bunch of us that were blogging at the time, and he did a I can't remember. I think he actually had us record something and send it to him. But he did one of the podcasts with him and Mitch Ashley, and they were asking for predictions, it wasn't predictions, but they were asking for what was the big thing of the year. And that's what I told him. And this all the way back in 08, I'm like, you know, and I forget what the event or events were necessarily, but I was like, you know, I think people are actually starting to pay attention to what's going on, and this stuff's going to hit home. And now it actually looks like it's finally coming to, fruition, 8 years later.
Yeah. I think people have been paying attention for a while, but I think now what we're finally seeing is consequences. Consequences that can be measured in terms of dollars and cents as to, what it costs to recover from a breach like a Home Depot or a whoever. And the change in acquisition price for a Yahoo, I think we're now, because in the past, for the longest time, and you and I have been doing this for a while, we've been making the argument there's an economic cost to a breach, but Ponemon numbers notwithstanding, it's been very, very difficult to show that a breach cost this specific amount of money. And I think finally getting that era where there are specific dollars associated with, now they're not Ponemon numbers, right?
what is?
but we're starting to get real numbers, and we can turn to the business and go, is this what you want? So that was really the one for 2016 that hit me. As we sort of start running the year down, Andy, what are you thinking? What sort of grabbed your attention this year?
I think one of the biggest things, and this also plays into what I think we're going to see a whole lot more of, is things that happened actually not that long ago, and this was the DDoS attacks. With mega amounts of data, against Brian Krebs, and then the one that took out The DNS, I forget their name off the top of my head, but that those were pretty serious events. Obviously, the Brian Krebs thing, I mean, it was localized to him, but still, it was like, look, we have the power, and then when it actually came out and it really hit home, and it took a lot of major websites offline. And then, there was no recovery from this. Everything that was done, just wasn't enough. It took a while. And I think that's what this is almost like a precursor to, what I'm afraid may be some, more serious events over the next 2 to 3 years, where we may actually see something on a critical infrastructure level that gets hit pretty hard.
Yeah, I'm starting to think back to when I first joined security and we started having, the first big malware, outbreaks like Code Red and all that. And this whole industry, around endpoint security, back then we called it antivirus, jumped up. And it looks, based on the amount of marketing stuff I get, and I'm sure you get a similar pile in your inbox every day, there's an industry popping up around this as well. So I'm sure we will, there will be no lack of great architecture and great services that promise the world. But to your point, a terabit a second of DDoS, that's a big thing to deal with no matter who you are. And, to me, that kind of gets to, that segues into what I think 2017, some of the big conversations going to be around is the Internet of Awful Things. We have devices, and there's different categories. I mean, there's these consumer grade devices that are hanging out on the internet that are horribly insecure. And there's really no way, even for an interested user who wants to do the right thing, they can't do it. So, the practical result has been things like the Mirai botnet. And, I've seen a lot of there's been a lot of really interesting research. And all of it seems to point to there's this massive install base of horribly insecure things that are directly connected to the internet. And we now have these organizations out there trying to, make the biggest bot, bought her that they can get together and start using it to do these massive events. In a more nuanced corner that I know you and I are going to be paying a lot of attention to in 2017 is the whole, you know, Internet of Awful Things medical device category, right? To where,
yeah,
you know, we're dealing with, you know, devices that are 10 plus years old but still have 10 years of active life in them. They're connected to people, and you know, there are folks out there, you know, on the interwebs who would love to grab a hold of it to turn it into a, you know, part of a bot army. And they either don't know or don't realize or don't care what that device is. They simply see it as an asset inside their bot army. And that's scaring me a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. I mean, because, you know, initially the fear when you think about this, especially from a medical device perspective, is that it's going to be a targeted attack, and they're coming after this device to do X to this particular person or this group of people or whatever. And I think, at least for me, and I, you know, this may just show the fact that I wasn't thinking, you know, but to me, the whole concept of using these things as a botnet, when, you know, when this all came out, I was just like, you know, that just makes so much sense. But yet I kept thinking, I guess I was thinking too narrow in, you know, into attacks against, you know, IoT devices. And you know, I kept thinking of them as, you know, they're going to be used to, you know, to attack your home. They're going to be used to attack you as a patient or your patients as a, you know, as a medical provider, or they're going to be used for, you know, narrowly focused specific things. But you're right. You know, if they're out there and they're visible, somebody is going to grab a hold of them and use them, you know, whether it be in spam attacks, whether it be in DDoS attacks, or whether it be in something that we haven't even thought of yet. And that's very scary, because as this stuff happens, you know, when it happens to Joe Home User, you know, there's not a lot of recourse that, you know, that can come from that. But when it happens to you as a, you know, as a business, you know, I think we're going to come to the point where we're going to see, you know, some potential recourse in the fact that, you know, look, you haven't done your due diligence. You know, right. you know as well as I do, you know, the importance of third party assessments, but we're looking at it, you know, from a PHI perspective, and yes, we are also looking at, you know, ensuring that some of the basic levels of security are there. But again, and maybe it's just me, but I don't think we as an industry are looking at these things to the level of just exactly how vulnerable are they to something like this, and, you know, and how is it going to come back to impact us if they're taken over and used.
I agree with you. I think, though, that over the next 12, 18 months, we'll start seeing more attention being paid to it. I think the whole Muddy Waters thing with St. Jude, you see some of the stuff happening with the FDA's Medical Device Security Task Force. There's a lot of interesting stuff that's starting. It's getting some traction. And the one thing that concerns me, though, is I think 2017, especially for those of us in healthcare, is going to be a year of a whole lot of uncertainty with the change of administration here in the United States. There's a whole lot of uncertainty as what's going to happen with, you know, the regulatory regimes and, you know, a lot of the federal programs that have been in place for the last 6, 7, 8 years. That sort of uncertainty, I think, can make it difficult for a healthcare provider who, is not overwhelmed with a whole bunch of excess budget in the first place to be able to make some of the decisions that we would hope they would make around security. And my suspicion is there's going to be a lot of hedging of bets until everyone kind of figures out what the new rules of the road are going to be. And my hope is that, you know, that period of uncertainty is as short as we can possibly make it, and we can continue to make the progress we need to make around securing these devices.
Yeah, you know, and I was actually thinking, excuse me, just in the last 3 or 4 days, kind of along those lines, You know, I mean, I come in from the financial sector, and especially in a company as large as the one I was with, you know, basically, I mean, money was thrown at security left and right. You know, where I'm at now, you know, security is a top priority and they take it seriously. But yet, just in general, the money is a lot tighter. And so, you know, we're having to fight for our budget much more so. And, you know, and part of it, I think, comes from, you know, the way that the rules and the regulations and especially around payments and what you get paid for and how you get paid and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's having an impact on the medical providers' bottom lines. And it's just kind of, and I thought it was just kind of ironic that the rules that are designed to protect the patient and to provide health care in a better way, you know, also on the back end are having the impact, the negative impact of impacting the bottom dollar. And so therefore there's not as many dollars available to invest to help make healthcare better through technology, which was a lot of the reasoning behind some of the legislation.
Yeah. So, I think we can sum up 2017 is we will be living that Chinese curse of living in interesting times.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, and there'll be moments where it's very exciting, and then there'll be moments where we're going to need to run down to Walmart and grab an extra pack of undies. And, you know, but, you know, and this is not prediction, you know, or future oriented or, you know, but I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, I'm new in the healthcare industry. I've only been there for about four or five months now, but dude, I'm loving it. Yeah. It's exciting. It's different. It's, you know, and I'm part of an amazing team. I mean, you know, a lot of the guys that I'm working with now, I worked with in the past. And we've got, you know, we've got a great team and a lot of cool things that are going on, but man, this is, this is fun. I'm enjoying this. And it's been a little while, so it's good to be back into enjoying it.
Yeah. I've known you for a long time, man. And I've been so excited this year that, you know, since you got this new gig that you've been as excited and happy as you have been. So, with that, I think there's only one other prediction that traditionally gets made here on the Southern Fried Security Podcast. So on behalf of Joseph Ciccoli, we here at the Southern Fried Security Podcast do believe with all of our hearts that 2017 will finally be the year of the Linux desktop.
We can only cross our fingers and hope that one day it happens, just so that sparkles can continue to sparkle.
Absolutely. So real quick, everybody, just recently had B-Sides Atlanta. It was a fantastic event. I'd like to personally say thank you, because I know some of our listeners were there. I'd like you to thank you for being there. I'd like to thank you for supporting B-Sides Atlanta and the entire B-Sides community. Next year will probably be a bigger and more elaborate event, and I look forward to seeing everybody there. And with that, Andy, we begin our holiday hiatus. So from my family to all of y'all, we wish you happy holidays and a very Merry Christmas and a fantastic New Year. And we'll talk to you again in January.
Sounds good. Y'all, hope everybody has a great holiday season, and we'll see you when the new year rolls around.
Take care, y'all.
Good night, everybody.